Shalom, Havarim, and happy traditional New Year to you all. And welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my effervescent Bible teacher and lovely wife, Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, dear. And it's good to be back after 2 months of rest, which turned out not to be a lot of rest, but certainly more family time as well as more personal time with our Lord Jesus Christ. We came back at a great time, a lot going on this week, with a new, soon-to-be president, and confirmation hearings this week, and President Obama's farewell speech in about an hour. That should be interesting, but before we get into what's been going on, let's ask God to show us his favor.
Okay, Abba, Father, as we have now entered the official year of 2017, we continue to give you alone the highest praise and honor. You are God over all gods and Lord over all. We need you now more than ever to watch over and protect your bride in these days, in these very last days. Guide our paths to keep us focused by your Holy Spirit power. Bless our listeners and tonight's program, and may it bring glory unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And thanks to all of you who sent notes and emails to let us know you couldn't wait for us to come back. So we are here, and let's begin by talking about a very important news item, besides the election, of course, and that is what the Obama administration has recently done to Israel.
He just had to get one more shot, didn't he? Which we know the listeners have all heard about, but how about giving them your discerning analysis of the present situation as it stands right now?
I certainly will. President Obama was sideswiped with Trump's election, it appears, and therefore had to move fast against Israel. He immediately went to work behind the scenes to set up a UN Security Council meeting to vote on a resolution to make it mandatory for Israel to dismantle and discontinue all settlements in Judea and Samaria, which they call the West Bank. In other words, Jews leave and the Palestinians take over, you know, like they did in Gaza.
Yeah, you know, these UN resolutions have been introduced in the past. In fact, I think almost yearly.
Yeah, but the United States has always said, no way, and vetoes them. But this time, Obama instructed his ambassador to refrain from a veto so that it would pass. And I can assure you that the UN Security Council knew in advance that we would not stand in its way this time. This resolution, by the way, it's number 2334, is now an international law and should be adhered to, but Prime Minister Netanyahu says, I don't think so. I'm not going to abide.
And it also says they cannot go to the Temple Mount or pray at the Western Wall.
Yeah. I can't. It's just so hard for me to get it. It's mind-boggling. They even can't even go to their hospital or college, which is so crazy, because this is the territory that Israel legitimately won back in the 1967 defensive war.
Many say that had to be a jubilee year.
Yes, you can read about that in Leviticus 25, which makes this year a jubilee as well. So these next 9 months through Rosh Hashanah could be a very interesting year.
Indeed.
Okay, let's recap. The UN Resolution 2334 made all Israeli settlements in the West Bank and in East Jerusalem illegal. It set the old 1967 lines as the border between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and it granted every single inch of East Jerusalem to the Palestinians. The past vetoes from Washington prevented any legal foundation for the ICC, which is the International Criminal Court, to take action against Israel. But now they are encouraged to prosecute Israel and certainly rule in the favor of any Palestinian accusations brought before the court. And they could mandate other countries to attach stricter sanctioning of Israeli products and trade.
Yeah, this is really bad.
Now, let me say this. It did stop short of giving official recognition to a Palestinian state, because it needs more than 14 nations to officially approve it. And that is why this upcoming conference on January 15th in France is so important.
Yeah, this time representatives from 70 different countries will attend.
Right, in Paris, for an unprecedented global conference. Specifically, thanks to Obama. Mm-hmm. To promote a two-state solution, stating it's the only way for lasting peace to be brought to the Middle East. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, what a joke. They said that about Gaza, too.
Mm-hmm. And the Israelis are terribly concerned that whatever is agreed upon at this next conference could immediately be enforced within days by then presenting it to another UN Security Council for a final vote, thereby adopting it before January 20th, when Mr. Trump is sworn in. That would permanently divide the land and create a Palestinian state. But again, things would have to move very rapidly in order for that to happen before Obama's time ends.
Yeah, because Trump has already made it exceedingly clear that he would never support any of this.
Correct. And unfortunately, he will find it almost impossible to overturn. Really, what they can do is just defund the UN and try to get other nations to as well. Remember the Wednesday after the resolution passed? Kerry quickly laid out a drastic plan, which many believe will serve as the blueprint for this upcoming conference in Paris.
Yeah, so it's, you know, Kerry, he's got it all spelled out.
Yeah, apparently. And it looks like he's been working on this for quite some time. It could soon be a done deal.
Yeah, I know, that's sad. And we do have a few scriptures that say it will happen at some point.
That's the key words, at some point. But, I don't know, my thoughts today are that 70 nations, I think they're going to want to be pretty cautious and consider the incoming administration with a major compromise that both Israel and the Palestinians agree to, that they would agree to immediate and direct talks on a two-state solution, which, by the way, both sides have said they would do in the past. Then an agreement can be hashed out over the next few months and signed by the fall. Remember, Daniel 9:27? It says that Israel will willingly confirm, and right now they certainly are not willing and are demanding certain details, especially on Jerusalem, to any agreement that, as we know, eventually will happen. So let's begin by reading Zechariah 12, 2 and 3. Would you, dear?
Yes. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding people when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it.
So they will be drunk on the mere idea of obtaining Jerusalem, and all the nations will be in agreement against Israel, they don't want Israel to keep sovereignty over it. That's the big thing. Now, right now, Resolution 2334, without our veto, was a huge flag in scripture fulfillment. We'll soon see, and also we know from this passage, the ultimate fulfillment of Daniel 9:27 will be in that day, which begins right after the rapture. So, how close can we be, church?
Yeah, we report, you decide.
Can you read Joel 3, I'll 1 and 2?
It. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there. On account of my people, my heritage, whom they have scattered among the nations, They have also divided up my land.
That's right. And by the way, the Valley of Jehoshaphat is actually the Kidron Valley on the right side. And Jerusalem right now is divided already because there are four quarters. We've got the Muslim quarter, the Armenian quarter, the Catholic quarter, and a Jewish quarter. But this ruling that's coming essentially means they would have to give up sovereignty and leave or have to live under a very dangerous Palestinian rule.
Yeah.
Let's look at one more, Ezekiel 36:5.
Therefore, says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom who gave my land to themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and spiteful minds in order to plunder its open country.
Edom are the descendants of Esau, who scholars say are today's Palestinians.
Yep. Well, Ezekiel 35 and 36 are pretty... You should go back and read that. That's pretty... Okay. Wow, looks like 2007 will be...
17.
2017 will be very significant.
That's right. And it already is. And this Paris meeting is Sunday, so we'll know more next week. So tune in and tell your friends to as well.
Yes. And you can send your end time questions to by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message of your question to 440-834-9006, and Sheila will call you back. Also, by regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Of which January's newsletter is now up for your reading pleasure.
Yes, it is. Okay, you want to talk a little bit about Russia?
Sure. Because a lot is going on with President Putin, who seems to be writing out Obama's attacks pretty well. The media is not reporting this, but Obama has sent 4,000 combat troops to the Russian border, and Putin has not responded yet. Obama continues to berate the Russians with fake allegations of election hacking and then expelled 35 Russian diplomats. Still, Putin did not respond with a military or diplomatic option even after sanctions were applied. He's really constraining himself. And, by the way, this was all preceded by the assassination of the Russian ambassador to Turkey. As well, a Russian military plane was brought down. Many military and intelligence people say that these events has the Jesuit-run CIA signature all over it. So you wonder, why would the CIA be a party to these actions? Simple. They want to provoke Russia into attacking either the U.S. military or our NATO ally, Turkey, which would then require a U.S. military response, and then the globalists would get their much-wanted war. Russia knows all this, and given the previous bad blood between Turkey and Russia, many are surprised that Russia and Turkey have not already locked horns. But despite all of these provocations, Putin has done nothing but mock Obama and the West, and thankfully he has not been provoked into starting World War III. In fact, President Putin actually stated recently that the New World Order was making pedophilia the new normal in the West. Now that's bold, but becoming a reality, sad to say. And we have recently seen linked, uncontested emails that our own government VIPs are involved in a pedophile ring. And isn't it interesting that Washington, which borders D.C., has the most missing children over any other state in America? Y'all remember reading about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodomy has always been a major work of demons, and it will increase till Jesus returns. Judgment is right around the corner, saints. Please pray for the little ones. It's so sad what is going on. Do your own homework. Anyway, the United States is outstanding at provoking war and making it look like it's the other country's fault. Putin is a smart man and knows the global elite want to follow the Masonic leader Albert Pike's outline way back from 1871. He wrote a book called Morals and Dogma, which, by the way, turned out to be the Mason's Handbook, wherein Pike recorded his demonic visionary predictions of three world wars in order to bring in the New World Order, and even detailed how each war would further their agenda for a one world order. I understand he has been pretty spot on. So, Obama is not done yet. I take many deep breaths every day till he's out of the White House. But even then, what would stop him from working behind the scenes? His field was community organizing. He's like a mobster with his own henchmen, and he's ready to act. By the way, besides the U.S., NATO is amassing significant numbers of combat troops, mechanized armor, and support personnel needed to sustain a combat operation also on the border of the Russian country of Kaliningrad, which is still Russian. And that kind of sits between Poland and Lithuania. And by the way, this is not a drill or a military exercise. Do you recall what Obama said just 2 weeks ago in relation to his false flag accusations of Russian hacking? He said he is taking retaliatory actions against Russia. He did say that. And now things have gone from bad to worse. And the operation even has a name. It's called Operation Atlantic Resolve. And along with the 4,000 troops, 2,000 U.S. tanks are coming from Germany to Eastern Europe, and 1,600 U.S. tanks are being deployed to storage facilities in the Netherlands. At the same time, NATO countries are also sending thousands of soldiers into Russian borders. U.S. troops and a huge amount of military material will be transported to Poland and other countries in Central and Eastern Europe. They clearly want to entice a war. But why? Over a hacked election that isn't even true? Putin must be ready to respond when needed. Or perhaps before the full consolidation of troops is amassed at their border. In other words, to attack the NATO-U.S. forces before they are fully in place and operational. In fact, many military sources have confirmed that Putin would be a fool to let these forces complete their consolidation without trying to stop it. Of course, the mainstream media and even Fox is silent on all of this present state of extreme volatility. We, literally, could go to bed one night, even in the next week, and wake up to a world that has been purged into World War III. I pray not, because even though I know it will happen, I'd rather it be after we're gone. Again, how close do you think we are? Send me your feedback to Sheila at shofarministries.net. In closing, let us all beware of the evil forces that are getting stronger as a precursor to the tribulation. Ephesians 6 states that we are in war, and it's not with flesh and blood. Stop looking at evil people and wonder how could they do such heinous crimes, but rather know it's the power behind them. That is not just speaking to their minds, but also now in many cases controlling their minds. These evil entities have been invited in through various means and are taking over many, especially the younger generation. You might have recently heard that particularly rich elitists are using children as their fountain of youth. Their demons are telling them that if they drink or even inject the blood of a young child, that they will live much longer and have an abundance of energy. And yes, they are believing it. And there is evidence. And they are taking part in certain sacrificial ceremonies and something called spirit cooking. That is all I'm going to say because it's just too evil to even speak on such things. And you can do your own research. But know this. Judgment is right around the corner. And yes, the gospel is still going out and millions are getting saved. Jews and Muslims too. In fact, they are having vivid salvation dreams and visions, like Joel 2 predicts. So, stay in the study of His Word. You need its discerning wisdom and its strength, for no one is above temptation. But as solid Christians, we should be able to recognize it when the arrow comes. So I encourage you, as I have, to pursue learning the Bible for yourself and don't just rely only on what you are told. Raised as a Catholic, I listened to priests who said that only some of the Bible is true and only that they could tell me what parts to believe. And knowingly or not, they have passed on these falsehoods to their flock. Teachers are to stir you up to do your own homework, to prove what you are taught, whether it be true. So, like Acts 17:11 says, be a Berean and read, hope you're taking notes, John 17:17, John 14:6, and 2 Timothy 3:16. Memorize them and be ready to use them, especially now. And may the blessings of our Lord saturate you, body, soul, and spirit. So, oh, precious one, if you're listening out there and you have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, know that Christ suffered greatly and died on the cross for you. And if you were the only one here, He would have done it for you as well. He loves us that much. He paid your debt for your sins because they have to be paid for. He said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door, and that's of your heart, and is knocking. If you are hearing His voice, He's saying, open the door. I want to come in. I want to dine with you and you with me. I know you hear His voice as He's knocking right now. But He's not going to crash the door down. It's your move. You can be the beneficiary of this magnificent love story written in blood on a wooden cross. Erected in Judea 2,000 years ago. Just do it. I've got a minute, so I'm going to read those scriptures I told you to write down. These are great scriptures to memorize. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Again, you need to continue your walk to get totally sanctified, body, soul, and spirit. And the only way you can do that is by the word of God. Then another one, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for our new president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her will definitely prosper. That's Psalms 122:6. Tell a friend. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.